you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, you'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Hello, friends. Lee Brown here. You have landed at Crazy Shit in Real Estate, where you get to meet lots of people in and around the real estate space and hear the stories that will never, ever see the light of day on HGTV. Today, we have a realtor in Miami, Dr. Carla Bryan Sherd, and she has two stories for you. But more importantly, she will share with you her movement from one highly successful career into real estate. I think you're going to enjoy this. So tune in. Enjoy the interview, and I'll see you on the other side. Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. Hello, Dr. Carla. I like that lip color you have on today.
Oh, thank you.
Is it matching your dress on purpose, or is this like every day your lipstick always matches?
Red every day, basically.
I mean, it's the best neutral ever.
Yes.
Good. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast with me a little bit today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I'm excited to hear some more about you. So where are you located, and give us some of the background, and what kind of a doctor are you? Because obviously you earn those letters beside your name.
Okay, thank you. I am actually from South Florida, born and raised in Miami. I went to college here as well. I moved to Atlanta. Well, I taught here for 10 years. Then I moved to Atlanta and taught there for 10 years. And then I actually moved out of the country. So I lived in UAE for a couple of months.
Oh, seriously?
Over there, yes.
Oh, that had to be an experience.
It was definitely an experience. And then I moved back here to Miami, which is home. And I've been licensed since 99, but I can't say that I was really into it because I was teaching all of those years.
Sure.
But I became full-time in 2019.
So what, is your doctorate in education then, I guess?
Yes.
Or is it administration?
Yes, I have a PhD in curriculum and instruction.
That's awesome. So you actually got a PhD in designing lesson plans?
Yes.
So that's fascinating. So what caused you to get your license in 1999? Did you just want to have it in your back pocket just in case? Or were you buying a house and you wanted the knowledge? What drove you to do that? Or is it just your general nerdiness?
Actually, it was a boyfriend at the time. He encouraged me to do it because I had just started teaching. And he was like, well, I'm going to get my real estate license. Won't you go and get yours too? And it became a competition at that point because we both majored in biology, went to the same college. And then it was like, okay, who's going to pass the test first? Of course I did. So of course I won.
So you said he's just an old boyfriend. So I guess there was this could be a lesson to the young people who might stumble upon this podcast. You should find the good parts of other people that you date, and maybe you get a real estate license out of it because your competitive nature just bubbles up, right?
Right.
All right. So tell me what changed in your world to say, I'm going to change my focus to real estate, because obviously with that many years in education, you've got a CV for days, and I'm sure anybody would hire you for anything. But were you bored? Were you looking for a new path? Or what is it inside you, Dr. Carla, that drove that change?
Well, it was basically that education has become more of a business model. And I'm like, if I'm going to be doing business, I want to make business money. Teaching salary still lags behind everything else. And even here in Miami, it's way behind other areas. You would think with this being a major metropolitan area, they're way behind other areas. Because even when I was in Atlanta, I was making basically $25,000 more than I'm making here. So it just doesn't match up with the cost of living down here.
Well, especially not when you look at the possibilities of real estate. And
right,
I think one thing a lot of people don't understand is that when you do get that PhD, it does take an entrepreneurial mindset to go get it, because it's not the standard class structure. You have to go do your dissertation. You have to be creative in the thought process. So you're already out there doing unique and different things. And I guess then you plow that back into a structured system that's really back from the Industrial Revolution, because education hasn't moved a lot in 100 years. So I bet you did feel a little bit stifled in that environment outside of the money. But then you do look at the money possibilities. There's no guarantees in real estate, but in Miami, that's just a couple of houses replaces the difference in your old salary.
Right. So Lee, do you also have a psychology degree? Because I've never thought of it like that.
I don't, but I've spent so much time with clients and with realtors. I'm pretty sure I could go get my PhD and follow a pathway somehow, but I don't have the focus in my life now to do structured education anymore. I wish
I did.
I miss it. I loved school. I loved learning. And now I learn in real estate space, which, as you know, is a little bit here, a little bit here. And we just pop all over, because our business models are like that. They're very fluid, right? They change every single day. So Miami's, of course, its own little world. It's its own market. It's kind of like its own country, because you do have so many people from different language backgrounds and different ethnic backgrounds, different countries. And
yes,
I remember in my French classes, my teacher loved us to talk about Miami, because she's like, oh, it's Miami. So every time I see him, like, oh, Miami in French, because, you know, you got a lot of Haitians that come through Miami as well.
Yes.
So living in a market like that, when you dive into real estate, even though you know people, what was the hardest thing for you about making that massive career shift? Especially when you're a highly respected, educated woman in one field and you're a complete unknown in the other one.
The main thing is I am such an introvert, and I have learned, and I'm still learning, you can't be that in real estate at all. It's still hard for me now to even do cold call. If you believe that.
Wait, no, I'm looking for my book that I need to tell you about. Oh my gosh. It's a book about introverts, because I'm an INTJ.
Okay. I'm ISTJ.
So the only thing we have to learn how to do is be a chameleon. A lot of successful realtors are introverts, but if you don't at least learn how to be a chameleon, you're 100% right. You have to get out of your shell enough to connect with other people. Dadgummit, where is that book? It's called Quiet, and it's about understanding introverts. And it's a really great book for people who are watching this, who are thinking, Lee Brown, you are not an introvert. And they're looking at Carla with the bright red lipstick and the bright dress. You're thinking, you're not an introvert either. You need to read it to understand us, because we pretty much run the world. Y'all just don't realize it, because we control a lot of stuff in the background. So anyway, back to what you were saying, before I got totally distracted, going to tell you about a book, because obviously nerd world. I bet your office is covered in books too, though.
It used to be, but once I got my PhD, I vowed I would never read another book. So if it's not on Audible, I won't touch it.
All right. So tell me about this transition that you went through when you decided to go full on into real estate in 2019. Obviously, right before COVID era, the markets were doing really well, but then they got quiet, then set on fire. So you've been in a wild market in your entire full-time time.
Right. So I was really encouraged by my broker, because he's given me the training that I felt that had I had when I first got my license in 99, I probably would be in a much better place now. I don't feel that I received like the one-on-one training of, because with my educational background, my thing is I don't want to get out there and not know what I'm talking about. So I never felt confident as far as the market knowledge and contract knowledge and all that kind of things. I just wanted to make sure I can answer any question that's thrown at me. And I didn't feel confident enough until I was here at this broker that I'm at now.
So how did you find that broker? Did you put the questions together yourself when you went out to interview and say, this is what I need? Do you provide this? Or how did you get lucky enough to find that relationship? Because we know from talking to all of our realtor friends, that's one of the biggest frustrations when you get your license, is how do you find somewhere to land where you're going to get the, not just the information to be successful, but the handholding. Because for the first several months in the business, there's a lot of what is the scoop on this neighborhood? I do not know this builder. What am I doing here? That it's on the job learning nonstop.
Well, it's actually odd the way that I ended up here because my broker is actually married to my cousin.
Oh, so it's nepotism, basically.
Yes. So I saw one of her open houses, and this was like in 2018, and she had like a line of about 50 people. This was back then, our open house. So I reached out to her saying, like, what do you do? And she called me into the office because she had just opened the brokerage in December of 2018. So I approached her January 2019. And I was just reaching out to her to find out what she did to generate so much interest in her open house. But she actually was recruiting me at the time. I didn't even know. We just had this conversation like 2 weeks ago. And she actually went back to look at her messages that I sent her. She was like, wow, all this time I thought you were actually coming to work here at the brokerage. I was like, no, I just want to know your secret. I just want to pick your brain. And I literally said in the message, I just want to pick your brain. She was like, I didn't see any of that. I just thought you wanted to work here. And I've been here ever since.
That's so funny because we do miss a lot of messages, right? When you think about what we find in talking to buyers and sellers, you're looking for the outcome you expected and you miss all of the other nuances that are happening. And she just forgot that you're a lifelong learner by nature. So of course you would be interested in the ins and outs of things as you work through that process in your mind. So now that you've been in for going on your second full year, full-time being exactly where you are. By the way, if you're a listener or a viewer of the podcast, you should know that real estate, that two-year mark is a massive hurdle to cross because 87% of realtors quit within the first 2 years. It's such a hard business and people don't always understand the ups and downs are just so dramatic. And it's the emotional burden and the physical burden and the time and the money and all of it adds up. So making it to 2 years is a really big deal. So in those 2 years, of course, you're in a really interesting market where you've got single family plus high rise. You've got Porsche buildings, which I think is weird anyway. So I'd love to know the moment you've encountered so far that would you say is your crazy moment? And I mean that one where we're having a cocktail and we're sitting outside, people watching, because that's always fun in Miami. And you would say, Lee Brown, you are not going to believe what happened today. What's that story?
Okay, so the crazy disgusting actually happened a couple of months ago. We went to inspect the home. And what we didn't know is that the person who, it was an estate home, the person who was living there actually was living there and hadn't had the water on for 4 years.
What? Wait, they were full-time living there?
Full-time living there.
Water's not on?
Water is not on.
What the hell?
Exactly. So the inspector went to go check the bathroom because, you know, that's part of their inspection. He went to go check the toilets. And she said to him, if I was you, I wouldn't do that. And he was like, that's my job. I have to. So he opened the toilet. Luckily, I wasn't looking because I'm very squeamish. But afterwards, we talked about it outside. You know, we go do a recap of your inspection. And my buyer was there. And she said, did you see all of that? This is the name of the show, Crazy Shit. So I guess I can.
Yes, this is an actual shit story. We don't always get an actual shit story.
Did you see the shit in the toilet with maggots on it?
Oh my God.
Maggots. Right. Hey, I'm so glad I didn't see it. And the thing was, I was actually taking pictures of the different things he inspected. I am so glad I didn't see that because I know I would have fainted or screamed or ran or something.
But that's got to be a mental health crisis for somebody that's living in there and still using that bathroom.
Yes.
So who was living in the house? Were they related to the estate family or was it?
Yeah, it was the daughter. It was the daughter.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so your buyer bought the house anyway?
No, we tried to, but the seller actually ghosted us. So we had to go through a legal process to try to get her deposit back.
It's probably for the best.
Right.
And this is a moment, friends, you should know that as your realtor, when we encounter these scenarios, our whole job is to say, look, we can move forward, we cannot move forward. But sometimes the roadblocks, we can't knock them down because there's legalities involved and there's people involved. But we will tell you every time, if it's meant to be, it will work itself out. And the wrong house we can't get through the pipeline on it. It sounds like their problems with the daughter were in place maybe to protect your buyer, and she just didn't know she was being protected She was protected by shit.
Right. Absolutely.
I just can't get over that. Where were they? What were they drinking? Were they bringing bottled water in the house and then not take a bath? They didn't take a bath for 4 years and waiting for it to rain. Know. It doesn't rain that much.
Know. No, it doesn't. I don't know what she was doing for water. I really don't know. And we didn't know about the water bill until we tried to do the inspection.
That's a question many realtors probably don't ask, but I bet you a dollar you've asked that every time since then. You're like, are all the utilities on before you go to the house? You learn from our moments we go through so we can benefit other clients.
Right.
Okay. I have a mental image right now and I can't unsee it.
Right. But you guys want to discuss it first, so I oblige.
And that's why we're going to end with cute. Thank you. So tell me a cute, crazy story that's going to help us erase that mental image. I hope there's happy people in it.
Yes. So my first open house, I put out my open house signs, and guess who came to greet me?
Your cousin?
A family of peacocks.
In the yard? Wait.
Why
did we have peacocks?
They were all over the neighborhood. I didn't know that. But as soon as I put my open house signs, it was like 3 or 4 peacocks just walked up to the house.
Did they knock on the door?
It was so beautiful. No, they did not go on the door. I was still outside. But I was like, this is so beautiful. I guess this is a good sign.
I mean, they are beautiful, but do you have wild peacocks in Florida? I did not know there was a wild peacock infestation.
Yes. The particular area is called Cutler Bay, and it was down there in that area.
Have you seen the peacock since then?
I don't really farm that area, but my cousin says it's normal down there, because I was telling, not this cousin, but another cousin. She told me that it's normal down there.
And that makes like the best Instagram reel or story possible. You're like, look at my open house visitors. Oh,
yeah, I did post it when it happened. I was like, look who came to greet me.
Oh, that's a happy thing. And did the homeowners, what'd they say when you told them that the peacocks were the first ones to attend the open house?
They see them all the time. So it doesn't, you know, like with me, I was just like in awe. And plus I was a science teacher. I didn't tell you what my background was. So I was a biology teacher. So, you know, this completely awed me, but she was like, oh, that's a normal occurrence. Nothing special.
So yeah, not just education, but science. So you're sitting there doing genus and species.
Right.
Okay. So if we look at the Google search history on your phone, it's all in that space, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So now we know. All right. So Dr. Carla, if somebody wants to connect with a realtor in the Miami area, and they want somebody who's not just in this for a quick buck, but somebody who's all about education and all about the stories, how can they find you?
They can reach me on all platforms at Sold by the Doc. SOLDBYTHEDOC.
There you go, friends. You can find all of Carla's contact information will be in the show notes for this episode. You should reach out. And if you need some input on the educational system, you could probably ask her those questions too. She'll probably tell you to run for school board, because if we're going to have good, impactful changes for the future, it's going to take some fresh voices that are in charge of helping our administrative teams put things together. And in the meantime, Dr. Carla's going to be over there selling some houses so she can bring some kids into school systems and help some downsizers get done with them, right?
Yes.
Dr. Carla, thank you for coming on the show and for bringing with us a couple of stories, but also giving us some ideas for the listeners and the viewers who haven't yet made the plunge into real estate and they think it's probably not possible. They can hear from you that it's absolutely possible to transition in a really positive way. So I appreciate all that you bring to the table.
Thanks again for this opportunity.
All right, guys, if you enjoyed this interview and you enjoyed Dr. Carla, you should reach out, say hello, and you should also subscribe to the podcast. Make sure we have 5 stars so that we will make sure and see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.